Good evening, Rishon. We're going to discuss the issues of Zman Tevila, as well as Tzitzit, an impediment on the body, a block on the body during Shas Tevila. These are the Zmanim in the tour of Kuf Tzadik Zayin, Kuf Tzadik Ches. So, first thing is, we have Machlokis, actually in the Gemara, Machlokis Hali Paskin, whether Tevila Zman is missed or not. The mitzvah of the Tovel, on the time when the woman is Tovel, as soon as she's allowed to be Tovel, the mitzvah, inherently, forget about everything else, to be Tovel that day, regardless. Let's say that she's, her husband isn't available, whatever, she's Tovel then. So, the Hezra of this Machlok is the Chor, is whether Tevila is a mitzvah or is it a matir. If it's a matir, it's matir for her husband, then whenever, there's no need to do it unless there's, whatever. But whenever, if you say Tevila itself is a mitzvah, right, then it's like, any mitzvah, at the time Zman arrives, you should do it then. So the Chor, that's the Machlok, is Tevila mitzvah or matir. The question is how we passed him. Menach Lano says we passed him that Tevila is a mitzvah, it should be Tovel Bisman. Rabbeinu Tamda says, how can that be? Because look, we go like from Zera, that we know that women say Zion Nikim after they see Tibetan Pachardal. Therefore, if we have a woman, let's say she's in Nida, so she should have been Tovel.
Can I just ask you a question on your Chakira, whether it's a mitzvah or it's a matya? Lachora, the question the Gemara discusses, Tevila Bisman a mitzvah or not, is not limited to a Nida or a Zava, it's limited to any person who has to be Tovel, right?
Okay, right.
So let's say we take another example. Right, of a person, let's say, who is a Zav.
Right.
So what's the matir there? What do you mean matir? What's its matir for the Zav?
Taharos.
To touch the Taharos?
Yeah. Right.
So it's a matzah.
Kabbalah. He has to remain in a hermit in the shell.
Because otherwise he's not allowed to come to the mikdash.
Right. Time made taharas, kabbalahs, or whatever other anything that has to be tahor, he would be. Yeah, also the time of kabbalahs, and he simply can't practically involve in taharas even for being a necessary. Right. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Using the Brisker categories, matzah versus mitzvah, why do you assume that a mitzvah precludes you from being a matzah, or matzah precludes you from being a mitzvah?
Oh, if it's a mitzvah, it also serves as a matzah, but it's even more than a matzah. It's actually it's a matzah that you're required to do. It's a mitzvah. It takes some kind of mitzvah. That's okay. That's a good question. Good point. So, Rabbeinu Chananelis has said, we passed into the Bisman a mitzvah. Rabbeinu Tam says, how can that be? Bisman is there, we go like Rabzera, and therefore, whatever woman is designed to keep, no matter whether, let's say you have a woman, let's say she sat dom for 5 days, right? So, in theory, the Zman of Nidus is 7 days. She could be Tovel, say she starts seeing Dom on Sunday, she stops seeing Dom on Thursday, let's say. So she could be Tovel on Motzei Shabbos. That the Zman of Nidus arises. However, since we hold, like from Zera, here for the woman has to design the king, she can't be told until the following Thursday. So Rabbeinu Tam says, how could the Bisman be a mitzvah? Bisman is there, a woman's being Tovel on Thursday, which is a Noig or Makabal, it's a Darbon, whatever it is, this Chumra that we're Tovel, but it's not the Zman. It's not really the Zman of the Nida. It's not the Nida, and most women are going to be a Nida, for instance, they're not as Zavut, and they're unusual, since it's like a Stamim. She's not being told Bisman. How can it be? Rabbeinu Tam, therefore it must be the Tefillah Bisman allowed mitzvah. So the Torah and Shulchan are classed like Rabbeinu Tam, actually, but nevertheless, we should understand what the machlok they're arguing about. So the Chor Rabbeinu Tam holds that Tevila Bisman a mitzvah. That's where that Shita holds in the Gemara, which we don't possibly hold, but that Shita posits that the Tevila is like any other mitzvah, Tala Bisman. He is shofar, he is lulav, he is matzah. Therefore, the day that is appropriate, the day that is destined for it, the day that is miyuchad for it, is the day after mekayim it. Therefore, if you're not doing the right day, inherently that's predestined day, then it is meaningless. That's it. It's not Bisman. Like not any other mitzvah, Bisman. Rabbi Chanano, the Rebbeinu Tosaf explains, Rabbi Chanano says that you can't, he holds that as soon as the woman is available to be Tovel, whatever impeded her, whether it was a mitzvah Darabanan, like Rabbi Zera or whatever, whether it was a Darais, whatever impeded her Tevila, the Isser, the mitzvah is, don't, you must be Tovel right away. Don't delay the Tevila. You have to be Tovel right away. That's what Rabbi Chanano explains it. It could be, Rabbi Baltimore discussed this. It could be simply the idea of not delaying a mitzvah. A mitzvah shouldn't delay a mitzvah. Also, if you were saying also, either way, we were discussing that. But that's basically how the basis explains it. You can't be delay the mitzvah. Therefore, it's not that there's a certain day. It's not a mitzvah sayon per se. It's a mitzvah really on not the mitzvah shy for the day, but it's on the gavr. You as a gavr can't delay this mitzvah. So, okay, that's pretty straightforward. Nafkamin would be like this. We discussed this in the poskim. Let's say the machlokus is the problem. Let's say that you normally can't be Tovel for a drabana reason. Can't be Tovel, let's say, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, let's say, assuming that the inner Yom Kippur of Rechitza is a Durbanan, you can't be Tovah on Yom Kippur, also Durbanan. So these are a serum of, you can't be Tovah, you can't immerse your body in these days. Therefore, if you get to be Lubizmana, Lav Mitzvah, you can't be Tovah on Shabbos. That's what many say, according to Beit HaTam, you shouldn't be Tovah on Shabbos. However, the Beis Yosef says, he first of all says that, you know what, if you say it's a mitzvah, then of course not means it could be tovel on Shabbos and so forth. Because that mitzvah to be a lubizman is docha the fact that the rabbanon on not being tovel on Shabbos or on these other types of days. Besides that, though, Rabbeinu Tam, we were discussing this, but Rabbeinu and myself, I want to present this, I don't think I have a thorough, it would require a whole chabur unto itself, but there's a machlokas stam of Rishonim, whether or not one can be tovel on Shabbos, apparently. So you can always be tovel on Shabbos, that's the pasha the Gemara in Beis says, good days and the days. Or it's no, the way that the Rabbeinu Tam, they say, may interpret that, would be only you can be tovel on Shabbos if there's going to be a mitzvah in that tevila, but otherwise you can't be. That's a focus in general, like tovel on Shabbos. The Beis Yosef says, furthermore, he says, however, even a tevila bismana is not a mitzvah. Let's say Rabbeinu Tam, the way he holds, making it not a mitzvah, he says, you still cannot delay a tevila. If a woman's husband is ear, battle of the ear, you still can't delay it, or being mitzvah, the husband. Quotes a Zohar that says also there's a big onus whatever for being mitzvah, the husband and the link to Vila. So he says Lemaisa, even if he was not a mitzvah, he still should be tovah right away. He says if Bila be here and so forth.
Even on Shabbos.
Beis Yosef says even on Shabbos, but according to those poskim who disagree with him and say that tefillah on Shabbos is aser and tefillah b'smana is not a mitzvah, according to them you cannot be tovah on Shabbos. You have to wait. Nevertheless, though, the way the minigo is to go like the Beis Yosef, that even if we pass like the Shulchan Aruch Torah is that the tefillah b'smana is not a mitzvah, we do pass like the Beis Yosef, the women are tovah on Shabbos and so forth.
Is that true? Does everybody say that?
That's what people are knowing. I don't know if everyone, I don't know if all modern posts agree to, but that's the mythical ones they do.
No?
Yeah. However, though, if the Leil Tevila lets it be on Saint Tishabov or something like that, or on Yom Kippur, then not. But my so the Chor, because the pasuk was on a lav mitzvah. However, though, okay, fine. But that would guess would be Mitzara violence over the length of for that purpose. There's been lots of peer of Rivian, that's the first one that Beis Yosef says. Those considerations there are total on Leil Shabbos and so forth. There's another issue which is as follows. Normally, there's a chiluk. A woman who's in Nida has to wait 7 days, and she can't be tovel until after the 7 days are over, until the night. Let's say again, she saw on Sunday morning, she saw Adam, and she's in Nida, and derice level, she's only in Nida, let's say. She can't be tovel until Motzei Shabbat, until nighttime. She may not be tovel, she's in full Nida until that Motzei Shabbat, then she'll be tovel. A Zava, though, who counts Zayin Nikiyim, she can be tovel on the seventh day. Let's say she's a Zava, nothing, she's a Zava Gadol, and she's not in Nida, regular Zava, whatever it is, Zava, let's say, in this case. Let's say that she, Zayin Nikiyim, let's say, begins on Sunday, she stops seeing on Shabbos, it has a tar on Shabbos, she starts counting, first day will be on Sunday. She can be Tovel Yeraisa on Shabbos morning. She should be able to be Tovel. Because the reason is, we're discussing the Chiluk, why is they needed, they have to wait until nighttime and Zava the daytime? Because Zava is an idea of a sphere, a minion, it's a count. And by Zava, we say Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. Therefore, as long as she is, so to say, observed part of the seventh day, she can be Tovel in the morning, on that Shabbos morning, Nikardin, the Raisa, she should be able to be Tovel. That's Zava. But Anita is not totally on a sphere, it's a time span. This woman is Tamea for a 7 day time span. Therefore, there's no heter. You can be tovel in the morning of the seventh. It doesn't work. It's a 7 day time span. It's not a sphere. But a sphere, mixed with kikulo, applies in the tovel in the daytime. However, there's an isser d'rabbanan that one cannot be tovel on the seventh day. Why is that? So, the Gemara says, lest the woman be tovel on the seventh day, and she might have tash, let's say she has tashmish right after tevila, let's say. And let's say she then says zariah. So she's tovel, let's say in our case, on Shabbos morning, the right level, tovel, whatever. 9 in the morning, and she had Tashmish, and she sees a Riyah on that day. So, on a derisive level, even, there's a Bichi of Karis, because we say that her Zion, Akiyim, Mafreya, is Nistar, is all uprooted, is all wiped out, and she is Temeya, fully Temeya, with Tumas Zava, for that entire period. And she's not Tahor until nighttime. Even though she can be Tovah by daytime, she's not Tahor until nighttime. So therefore, lest this woman go ahead and have Tashmish, and then have a Riyah afterwards, she can't be Tovah during the daytime, as any Zava. She must wait until the nighttime. There is a machlokes we've shown though about this case. I'd like to get into for a second. This is the way that the Torah quotes it, the name of the Rashba, and this is the way that the Oz Rishonim seem to say it. However, the Rashi quotes Yesh Omrim, which is actually the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor has it in the back of the Baal Nefesh, in his notes in the Baal Nefesh of the Ravid. He says, no. It's not. It doesn't say a woman can't be Tovel. There's no issur of a woman being Tovel on the seventh day whatsoever. And the Chor is out to be a Gezerah L'Gezerah. Because we're saying that, look, this woman, we're saying, if she's Tovel, she might have Tashish. If she has Tashish, she might see Dom. It's a very far-fetched harhaka. It's a serious area if she does see Dom. But it's a very far-fetched harhaka. If she can't be Tovel, because if she's Tovel, she might have Tashish, and she might see Dom. It's too far-fetched. Therefore, he says, what's the Isser Rabban? Isser Rabban in the Baal Mor says, you can't have Tashish on the seventh day. She can't have Tashish on the seventh day, lest she see Dom. However, Beis Yosef says, no, don't worry about it. It's not a gzer l'gzer, and that's not a double harchaka, because there's a chi of karis. The chi of karis is so chomer, therefore, the gzer is not going to be an issue here. Therefore, they made that. So far to say you can't even be tovel on the seventh day, lest she has hashbish, unless she then sidon. So where's this machlokas, whether it's gzer l'gzer or not? So I thought perhaps machlokas like this. There's some ways to explain it. Machlokas might be, how do you view the relationship between the Tevila and the Tashmish? You could say that there, and this is the way the Chor, the Baal Amor says, two separate things. She's Tovel, and that makes her a Matir, she's a Mitzvah, certainly is a Matir, and she has Tashmish. So therefore, it's two steps removed. It's Gezera. She can't be Tovel, lest she has Tashmish, lest she see Dom. But the Tevila and the Tashmish are disconnected. One happens to be Matir, the other. Tevila is Matir, the Tashmish, but that's all it is. It could be that the way that the Tor and the Rashba and the other majority of Rishonim apparently hold this way, say you can't be Tovel, even though the Beis Yosef says because of the Chomer of Karis, it could be that really what's going on is they say that the Tevil and the Tashmish are really considered to be like one process. It's really considered to be one unified idea. She is Tovel in order to have Tashmish. The Tevil and Tashmish are really totally Zebizet. It's not that she's Tovel, she's a bit of eligible for Tashmish. No, if she's Tovel, we know she's normally, that's a matter of Tashmish, normal circumstances, the person would have Tashmish afterwards anyway. Therefore, it's really not exactly Gezera. They're really connected. The Tevil and Tashmish seem to be one in the same step, one in the same process, so to say. Therefore, it's not exactly Gezera. If she's Tovel, then Tashmish is considered to be the conclusion of that Tevila process, which would be done through the immersion. Therefore, the Rias Dom is really only one step removed. However, the Baal Amor might say there are two separate things, the Tashmish. There's the Tevila, and then there's the Tashmish. They're not considered to be one process, and therefore it's exactly Gezera. Maybe that's how you can explain it. However, what if a woman goes ahead and she is Tovel on the seventh day? What if she is Tovel on the seventh day? She violates the Sister Rabban on the seventh day. This is a Machlokas Rishonim. This is quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, most of these Machlokas that we're discussing now, actually all the Machlokas we're discussing now, are referred to, very often explained in fully in the Beis Yosef. So if she's Tovel on the seventh day, what's her status? So the Baal HaNefesh, or the Ravid, quotes the name of Rav Acha Gaon, that the Tevila is not valid. She must be Tovel again at night. It's an invalid Tevila. She's considered a Rabban to be fully Tameah. She's Tovel on the seventh day. Rashba says...
I mean, in the Torah, it's fine.
In the Torah, it's fine. But the Rabban, they said she's Tameah. The Rabban, you have to be Tovel again. Not Yotzi Tevila. However, according to the way that the Joseph Paskins and quotes the Rashba on this, it's a valid tevila. She didn't issur d'rabbanan. It's a serious issue between tovel b'yom, but the tevila is a good tevila. It's a habit to be a tevila issue, and it makes you sahara. What's this machlok? Machlok, I think, simply is how do you formulate this issur d'rabbanan? Is it the issur to be tovel, or is it pshat? No, the rabbanan actually declared this is not zman tevila. They were actually in mafkia. They said yom hashvi shalzav is not zman tevila. Therefore, under rabbanan, if you're tovel, mamela is not yotzi tevila. It's like she's tovel on the second day of being a zav, which is totally meaningless. It's a tovel sharsh b'yado. That's the chol machlokas. Is it the ma'aseh tevila?
Yeah, but what do you mean they declare? I understand. We say that the reason midaraisa works is because we have a principle that mikzas hayom kifula.
That's right.
So what did the rabbanan say about it that prevents it from being mikzas hayom kifula? How did they approve the principle mikzas hayom kifula?
Okay. So
if Minatora, right. You say anytime you're dealing with a sphere, as you claim, there's an automatic mikzas yom kikula, then what halachic mechanism are the Rabbanan using
good question, in order to stop that?
Good
question. So, thank you for asking. Thank you for drawing it out. So, they said mikzas yom kikula doesn't apply. They said this yom kula was a yom shalziva. This mikzas yom kikula doesn't apply. presumably doesn't apply. They extended the status of ziva on halayla, similar to nida, similar to the idea of nida.
They took away the sphira element from it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I would. I've gone the spot. I'm just that's what I would say.
But it's no longer a din of sphira, according to that.
Right. Dicker's in a sphere, but in terms of the god, at least the god of the tevila, they removed the idea of sphira. Okay, Balmore has a tremendous kula here. He says, "Isman hazeh, he may be tovel on the seventh day and on the eighth day." We're going to talk about in a few minutes why you can't be tovel the day in general. Balmore says, "No, it doesn't apply. You can be tovel even the seventh day because isman hazeh, it's only chumra. Most women we know were really going to be nidos." Ziva is not really, she's not shchiyach. Even though she's waiting, she's waited more days. She needs to wait. Therefore, if she has tashish afterwards on the rice level, there's not going to be any karis because this woman has already passed Zion Akim, passed the 7 days. No, she passed her Zmanida. There's not going to be any karis here. There's nothing to worry about here. It's a far-fetched chashash in this case.
Although I don't understand that because the reason we're machmir is because we are confusing every nida with a zava. So nope. This woman could be, for all you know, a zava. So if she really is a zava, this might be daraisa. How do you know it's not daraisa?
He'll certainly agree she can't have tashmish, but the tzvila itself, it's a harhaka. It's a harhaka. Even more than that, he says, like a chumra is so far fetched, shash. So most rishonim in the tourism they don't accept this balamor at all. It's a das yachin this balamor because you can be told with man hazeh by day because it's such a far fetched kashash with man hazeh. So mechorah the hezbor for this machlokus is going to be I'm sure there are a lot of ways to explain this, but I thought perhaps machlokus would be like this. When we say that the women we treat them as a safek zava with man hazeh based on reb zera, is that formulated as ikra din? We say treat her, you know, with her as if she is a zava, or is it no? It's really done b'toras chumra. Instituted the Torah's chumra. Everyone agrees it's matam chumra. The reason is a chumra. Everyone agrees that. But they said it's formulated as a chumra. But for the chumra element in it, said that there's a tzad to be tzad to make it. If the chashash is really lessened, then we wouldn't impose it. Normally we don't make gzera, for instance. We don't impose a chumra. If there's a tiny slight chance of a suffix that we might have, we don't do it normally. The question is, that's the Balmore takes. He says that really, even though the reason for it is because of the chashash that she's a zava, but the formulation of it, the imposition of it, is b'toras chumra. Therefore, if there are other things that it's going to engender, which are going to be chumras viseros, they're not going to apply. There's orders showing them to say, no, the chumra visera, really, we view her, we declare her, there goes her, so to say, as a definite zava. It's mitam chumra, but the formulation of it is a definite formulation of zivus. And that's how the Chalor, why they say there's no exception. Him told by Yom period, no matter what. There is, however, another step to this. What if a woman wants to go ahead and be tovel on the eighth day, or the ninth day, or the tenth day? She can't be tovel on the seventh day because she might see dam, as we said, except according to the Balmor, not as that, according to everybody before Bisman, as in the old days, in times of Gemara, before we have time, it's annoying. She can't be tovel on the seventh day. She might have a reen, and she has the key of Karis that would be incurred. However, let's say a woman, she counts, like her was there, she counts all the days of Ziva. She starts, again, in our case, she starts seeing dam on Sunday, stops seeing dam on Thursday, can Zion Nikiyim starting on Friday, and therefore she's tovel the following Friday. Can she be tovel that Friday in the daytime? Let's say she wants to wait tovel on the. She finished Zion Nikiyim and she says, "No, I wasn't tovel at night. I should have been tovel. I'll tovel the next morning." There's no chash of anything. Can she be tovel then? So Gemara is a separate issue. That's called Sras Pizza, which means that a woman's daughter might see, oh, Ima's being tovel, my mother's being tovel by Yom. Therefore, Tfila Yom is mutter, and the daughter's been tovel by Yom, not on the eighth day, but on the seventh day, and she'll be chayav karis if she sees dominant tashmish. So, is this harhaka in the Gemara, complete Mishum Srafbi, lest her daughter and her daughter be misled and go ahead and see her mother be tovel on the eighth day or the ninth day and think that her mother was being tovel on the earlier day, earlier than the eighth day, in which case it would be a problem. She would be definitely a problem there. So, that's why she can't be tovel and be yom no matter what. So there are a few points I want to mention on this Mishnah Shem. One point is this: Zman hazeh is rachbi to apply. Even though, as I said, the Ravid holds Zman hazeh, you can be tovel on the seventh day, But here in terms of Srachbita, which is the Isser Bin Tovel on the eighth day and onward, more Rishonim were joining the Ravid side here. This is Rav Yoh. Rav Yoh, actually, he says that... Rav Yoh and Rabbeinu Simcha, they say no, Bezmanazeh, they say you can be Tovel on the eighth day and onward. Srachbi doesn't apply to Zanazeh. Rosh Hashanah say, of course, it applies to Zanazeh, and that's what we do. We don't tovel beyond no matter what. So it could be the Machlokas is similar here, a little different than we said before, the Balamor, but similar, a little bit like that also. Which is, well, what's this idea of Srachbita? Srachbita formulated similar to the Isser Bin Tovel on the seventh day, according to most, is definitely, you cannot be tovel vayom, period. Or is the chash part of the formulation? The formulator says you cannot be tovel b'yom, lest your daughter go ahead and be tovel on the seventh day. Well, Bezman Azef, somebody tovel on the seventh day, since the whole thing is a pumgrin, and she's not going to be chayv. I'm sorry, I'm trying to squeeze a letter. The kira, which is similar to kira, but from what we said before, not exactly, I'm saying along the same lines. Is this Isser being tovel b'yom on the eighth day and onward, which is Srachbita? Is this Isser, the form of Zavadai, the form of Isser Tavili, can't be Tovel B'yom, period. Was formulated as a chash. They said, Mishum the chash, that the daughter might learn the mother and be Tovel on the seventh day, after that chash can't be Tovel B'yom. The chash is part of the formulation. Therefore, if the chash is a real chash, then it can't be Tovel B'yom. But if the chash is so weakened, as long as the chash is not a real chash, it's like a triple harchok of Bezmanazeh. So therefore, it wouldn't apply. They say it's as formulated as a chumr, as a chash, the Rav Yonah ben Simcha. Therefore, Bezmanazeh doesn't apply. However, the other Rishonim would say it was formulated as a Vada Yisro, so too, from Tovel B'yom, therefore, it can't be. It's similar to my focus, we'll drop off somewhat. Okay. Rishonim, we have just two more points on the Tovel B'yom, then I want to delve into Chatzitza, which is going to be much more complicated, I think, so we require a little more focus on that. Okay. We have three machlokas. When must a woman be tovel to avoid srachbita? So you must be tovel at night, of course. What do you mean by night? So the shita of the Rambam and the Suri B and the Pasha, so the first shita in the Torah is that you must be tovel by night, period. The gozer, not be tovel by yom. Period. That's it. Nothing, no questions, no cheshbonos, no second guessing. You can't be tovel by yom no matter what. However, the Rosh Kodesh of Beinu Tam, the Torah quotes this in his name as well, which is that a woman, the whole reason the woman can't be Tovel B'yom is lest her daughter see, well, even with Tovel B'yom. Therefore, the Beinu Tam is an Eitzah. You don't need to wait until nighttime. A woman can be Tovel close to nighttime, close to Samach HaShecha, he says, and then the woman can come indoors in her house at night, at Tzitzit Chavim. And therefore, the daughter will not see. She's not going to see her mother with Tovel B'yom. She'll see my, say, oh, she's Lila. She didn't see Tovel B'yom. That's a Beinu Tam. The Rashbam, though, says no. In theory, the Rabbeinu Tam would be right. He does not agree with the first sheet of the Rambam. He cannot believe it. In theory, it would be right. The problem is the daughter is going to know her mother was Tovel B'yom. The daughter is going to see, look at the clock and say, oh, Tzitzit Chavim is right now. Even just walks in the door. She must have been Tovel prior to Tzitzit Chavim. She walked in the door at Tzitzit Chavim. She must have been Tovel prior to Tzitzit Chavim. Must have been Tovel prior to Lila. So therefore, Srachbita to fly. That's what Rambam says. The daughter's going to figure out. It's very clear, if you just think about it for a second, when the mother was Tovel B'yom. The mother, you're not going to fool the daughter. So what are these three shittas? The first shita is very simple. Yisr Srachbita is Zman Tevila. Zman Tevila is Belila, period. The second and third shita, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, say no. It's not a din Srachbita and Zman Tevila. Zman Tevila is Belila. It's not the din. The din really is one of not misleading the daughter, so to say. Therefore, in theory, you should be Tovel, but close to the nighttime, until the end of the day, that kunsh should work. But the Mahalakis is like, hard like this. What's this din of Srachbita about not misleading, not misinforming the daughter, giving a wrong impression of Zman Tevila? The Rabbeinu Tam holds a din in Chinuch, which means you can't set an example. Your daughter can't see B'tovel B'yom. The mother was Tovel B'yom. The daughter figured out it's not a problem. But you cannot demonstrate, you cannot illustrate to the daughter, I'm Tovel B'yom. It's a din in Chinuch, basically, Rabbeinu Tam holds. That's what Srachbit is. Therefore, the mother is Tovel, Samach HaFashecha, still B'yom, not where the daughter is, and comes in the house Belila. So the daughter can figure it out, of course. But the mother did not demonstrate to her, here's how you're Tovel. You're Tovel B'yom. Because it's not Shaya. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam, not a problem. Rashbam says no. It's a din in chashash. You cannot get a din in chashash, a din in misleading, a din in being machshel. The mother cannot do something that will machshel the daughter to think you can tell the young. Therefore, if the mother enables the daughter, if it's clear to the daughter, the mother or daughter calculates that half a second the mother was told by young, That's a problem. You cannot demonstrate how you're totally tovayom. No, you cannot enable her to have the misimpression that you're tovayom, and therefore you must wait till Lila, no matter what the Rashbam says. Not because that's a mantila, because that's what Srachita is. I did a misimpression. You cannot give a misimpression of mantila. Now, Mishum, I want to discuss tzitzit for a few minutes. The three main sheetas here. I just want to jump into this. We have 20 minutes, and hopefully we can get it done thoroughly. So, there is a Gemara. I want to start with Gemara in Devamos. We don't need to all read Devamos. I just want to read it for 1 second, okay? It's on Ayin Ches. This concept actually is quoted by the Brisker Rav. The first Brisker Rav in the Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos makes this deal. The Gemara is like this. Talks about a case of a ger who's an Uber, a child who's in the mother, and the mother's name is this guy here. So the Gemara says like this: says, well, look, the baby should there should be no tzitzit issue in this case because there's no hakpada. The only time a tzitzit, an impediment for tefillah, something on a garment or something attached to the skin, something, say a person has some paint or dirt on their body, there is, that's tzitzit. The only time a tzitzit is a problem on the rice level, the marsh is going by, the tzitzit covers rov haguf, and the tzitzit is something you're makpid on. So here the baby is entirely covered by the mother's body, but it's not makpid. The baby's not saying, oh, I don't want to be in my mother. The baby survives it. That's the normal way that babies grow in their mother's inside their mother's uterus. So there's no hakpada here. The baby has no hakpada, so to say, of being mother. It's natural. The mother says this is the normal way that they exist at this point. There's no hakpada. So why is the baby not yotze? We're saying the baby's not yotze tzvila to the mother. It's a chetzitza, the Gemara first says. Why is it a chetzitza? The Gemara says because lo shanu el arubo. The only time that hakpada is gonna be a makir. If you're not makir, there's no chitzitza. It's only if the majority of the body is covered. Let's say the majority of my body is covered with paint. And I say, I really don't mind the paint. I love the paint. I actually want to have paint on my body my entire life. I enjoy it. I'm not makir. I want it. Midrash, that's not a chitzitza. Midrash, it is. Midrash, not a chitzitza. However, in this case, lo shanu el arubo, aval kulo chotzitz. But if the entire body is covered by chetzitz, the entire baby is covered by the mother, so embodied, encased by the mother, it is a chetzitz of kuliyama. Why is that? Why is it a chetzitz? Brisker Rav says, it's a chetzitz because there are two dinim here. On one hand, there's a din of not having bias mind, not having tzvila. The baby, by being covered by the mother entirely, is not being tovel, is not being yotze tzvila. There's no tzvila on the baby. Chetzitz means that you're in the water, but there's something on your skin. Which means you have paint on your skin, on the majority of your skin, but I'm still in the water. The water is touching my skin. There's bias mayan. Water is coming on my skin. The majority of my skin has a chetzitz on it. There is bias mayan. That's different. That's a chetzitz. There's bias mayan. There's a tefillah with a chetzitz. That's one din. But a second din, a more fundamental din, is there's not a tefillah in the first place. It's not a bias mayan. The body's entirely encased. It's not a tefillah. And that's the idea. Kulo means there's not a bias mayan. There's zero tefillah. Tzvei dinim. There's a tefillah. There's no tefillah. Or there is a tefillah with an ikuv of chetzitz. So the Tzvei Din the Brisker Rav has. The Rambam is, bedu this way. It's clear in the Rambam, the Rambam hold this way.
However, in one case, you don't even have a Maisa Tzvila.
That's right, it's zero.
In other case, you have a Maisa Tzvila, but with a Pesul.
So exactly, right, exactly. Very good, exactly. Now, the thing is like this. I believe that not all Rishonim subscribe to this deal for the Brisker Rav. The Rambam certainly does. Brisker Rav is saying, either way, the Rambam does, but the others I don't think necessarily agree to this. I just want to first read Mishnah, the Lashon of the Torah. The Torah says like this. Also, if I go over 5 minutes, hope the Tzibur's Muslim. Here. The Torah begins like this. Tzricha shetikbo kol gufa b'pam achas. A person must immerse their whole body at once. Which means you have to be under the whole water. That's a bias mayim makolagif. That's a water covering the entire body. You can't put first your arm and then your leg and then your stomach. The whole body must be mostly immersed in basachas. Tevila means immersed entirely in basachas. Therefore, you can't have any chetzitza on your body. Even a little tiny chetzitza. The Torah says the chetzitza and lack of tevila, lack of immersion, are hainohach, the same thing. Chetzitza is not a separate din. The Rambam, on the other hand, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Mikvos, he begins saying ha'ifi tovel the entire group of asachas. The last halacha, Yud Beis, after discussing unrelated things about the whole goof. He then talks about tzitzis. Tzitzis and Rambam is a special din, like this book, a separate psul. But the Torah, though, says you have to be tovel the whole body of vasachas, and therefore anything that's chotzeitz is a problem. So part of the Torah is very clear: the tzitzis and lack of tzvi, lack of bismayim, are the same din. Now I'd like to use this idea to explain.
Wait, so then, if that's true, Gemara, what do you do with the Gemara?
The Gemara, I think, okay, I'll get that later. So the kitchen, the Gemara is saying like this. Are saying, why is kula chotzeis? We have two conditions as to when a chatzitza is not a problem, or when a chatzitza is only a problem, number one, if it covers the majority of the body, number two, if you're makbid. If you're not makbid, or if it covers a meter of the body, it's not a chatzitza. The hakapoda we know is, of course, a requirement. Let's say it covers the entire body, in case of the entire body, kula. So according to the Brisker of the Rambam, the way he learns it, it's not a tefillah. But the other Rishon, like the Torah, and I want to show the Rashi and the Ritva hold the same way. Rashi and the Rashi hold the same way. Rishon is like this: by definition, kulo is hakpada. Rashi seems to say the idea. I want to show you how he says it. That if chatzitza is chashivus, the chatzitza is chashir, it covers the majority of the body, and there's hakpada, it's chashivus. It's not bottled to the body. Rashi uses the Rashi several times. It's tough and it's bottled to the body. But if it's makbid and it covers kerubo, then it is chashir. If it covers kulo, even if you say you're not makbid, by definition it is chashir. It's chashivus by definition. Something that encases the entire body, you can't say makbid. By definition, it's chashir. By definition, you're makbid or it's chashir. And that's the idea, I think, in the Gemara. And the Lashonis, the Meiri seems to say this. And in Rashi, and you shouldn't talk about chashir, but in Rashi, I think it's clear this is the way it is to answer the question that Ari Balsam asked. Let's go back to the Ritva. The Machlokus that the Machlokus like this. Let's say you have a case in which Rov Nashim are makbid on a chatzitza. Let's say Rov Nashim don't like, they're makbid to have tar. They don't want tar on their bodies, right? Like tar from painting roads. They're makbid. This one woman who says, I really don't mind it at all. I grew up in a family of construction workers, and I was a construction worker before I got married. I don't mind tar. I don't mind. It smells good, actually. I don't mind. So the Rosh Tar Sabai says, but the daitif, it's a kolonashim. It doesn't mean anything. The majority are kaveya, that it, therefore it's chatzitza for her as well, this tar. But the diuk in Rashi, and the Rambam seems all the same way, it's clear, that no, each woman has her own rules for hakpada. If she's not makbid on tar, her's not a chatzitza.
Subjective,
right. In other words, the Torah says the Rashba and the Torah who possibly like him says it's objective, a majority of the women. What's this machlokas? So, as I said, Rashi says that chatzitza, I want to get into Rashi in another minute from now, but we're just dealing with the Rashba and the Torah now. Rashi seems to say that the idea of chatzitza, when it's not a chatzitza, is because it's tofel, it's buttock to the body, right? It's kagufa, Rashi says. And Erevin and Sukkah, Rashi says it's kagufa. What does that mean? That means is that if I deem it not important to me, it's part of my body. And in the horror, this didn't make sense according to the Rambam. Chatzitza might be entirely different din. We don't know what the conditions are. But according to the Rashi and the Rashba and the Torah, the chatzitza simply lack of biyismayim. Well, you need biyismayim on your whole goof. And therefore, if a chatzitza is not a chatzitza, it must be because that chatzitza has become part of your body. It's tough to your body. It's part of your body. Therefore, it goes like this, I think. According to the Rashba, says, you know what? You can't go ahead and declare, I consider tar a bodily part. I consider tar part of my body. If Rov Nashim, if every woman in the world considers tar to be something undesirable to have on their body, one woman says, I like it. That's objectively, you can't say this is objectively became part of the body, therefore it's like a new limb of my body, or it's a new part of my body, therefore it's not a chatzitza. How can you say such a thing? Rov Nashim, the whole veld holds in his chatzitza. I myself don't mind if I'm a construction woman. It doesn't help. It cannot be. You can't redefine the human body. It got to be anything. That's the whole idea of the Rashba. You can't redefine your human body. Therefore, goes by Kol Holam. But the Daita, the Rashba holds. However, what about Rashi? Rashi says it goes according to every woman subjectively. And Rashi, as I said, holds, and so I want to show you in the Yavamos, Rashi happens to hold like the Rashba and like the Torah. The Chatzitza is not a separate thing like the Brisker Rav holds. There's Rashi and Ayin Ches on the base. The Sugas Ayin Ches on the Aleph and on the base. The Rashi and Ayin Ches on the base. Verse Rashi, the Gemara says, Kulo Chotzeis. The whole thing is Chotzeis. So what should Rashi have said? How do you learn this Gemara? It's Kulu Chotzeis. According to the Rambam, the Biskarov, Kulu Chotzeis, if you were Rashi explaining according to them, you would say, Kulu Chotzeis, Veloha Vitavila. Le'ein Kam B.S. Mayan. There's no B.S. Mayan, not Tavila. What does Rashi say? So far we're talking about Chatzitza the entire time. Now we say, Kulo is Chotzeis. Rashi says, Alphagav Lo. Sorry. The Gemara then, says, oh, even though it's Kulo Chotzeis, since the baby grows this way, this is natural, therefore, separate reason, it's not a problem. The baby gets Tavila. Rashi says, Kulav Chatzitzin, it's not a Chatzitza. This is called Kulo Mechusa. Kulo is covered by the mother. Even though Kulo is here, not Rubo, but Kulo is covered by the mother, Kulo Mechusa, Rashi says, Lav Chatzitza here. Rashi should have said the Yesh Kan Tevila according to Biskarov is a Kulu Chotzeis, but it is a Tevila. Instead, he says Lav Chatzitza. You see, the Rashi knows the Kulo is Dini Chatzitza, just like Rubo is. The whole thing is Dini Chatzitza. There's no such thing that Rubo is a Chatzitza. Kulo is not Tevila. It's all the same thing. When Rashi is all the same thing. There's no difference. Chatzitza on the part, Chatzitza on the whole. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. There's no difference. So if that's the case, how does Rashi learn? What does Rashi talk about? How Rashi said that it's subjective. If one woman's not makan on tar in her body, it's not a problem. How can that be? Rashi talks about it in terms of hair. Rashi on sale in here. But the Rashi taught this in every single case. That's what they say to interpret it, I think. So it's not like this. Machlokes fundamentally like this. What is the idea of tevila on the goof? The way that the Rashba learns it, and this is the way that the Torah learns as well, is that Tevila is Tavila is called Basar B'mayim. You're Tavila, your flesh in the water. That means Basar. The Basar, the actual flesh, the skin itself, the skin surface is what requires Tevila. Anything else would be a Chatzitza unless there's a Heter for it. That's the idea, that's what the Rashba, that's what the Torah learns. Tevila is on Basaru Mamash. Rashi would learn out in the Chorah, Tevila is not on the Basar per se, Tevila is a din on the gavra, on the person. Therefore, the person, you know, it sounds very strange, but I want to view a Rashi like this. The person includes the person's clothing under rice level. The clothing would be included, the person's hat, the person's shoes, the person, whatever the person considers. We have to consider it to be normal for this person. This person could, let's say, be Yotzi on Shabbos. It's butzel, it's tough to the goof. That's what Tevila and a derisive level, according to Rashi, is on. Rashi says, look at Rashi in Erev, and Rashi and Sukkah has the same idea. In Erev and Daf Dalamud Beis, Rashi explains, if something is not a chatzitza, he says that it becomes, have a kigufo. Come on, have a kigufo, and he says in Sukkah, he says that it's not makbid, it's tuffel to the person. It's by definition not makbid, you don't care about it. It automatically is tuffel, because tevila is on the gavra, on the person. The rice, including the clothing, whatever is the person, whatever is part of your body, you could say the yokes of the Shabbos. That would not be a problem. Not literally as a Shabbos. That's what I mean to say. Rashi is not a problem. The goof is defined not by the bus, so literally, but by the person, by the gavra. Therefore, according to Rashi, what is chatzitza? Chatzitza is if something has kashivus to it. There are two factors. If it has mechaser rubo and your makbidan, then your machshavit is a separate entity. If you give it chashivus a separate entity, that's a chatzitza according to Rashi. According to Rashi, chatzitza is a, it's not a new din like the Brisker of the Rambam, but it's an exception. It's an exception to the norm. But you have your machshavit, it covers rubo, it's so noticeable. And your machbid, you're giving a certain chashivus to it, therefore it's a chatzitza. But naturally, it's not a chatzitza. The Rashba, though, says no. Basara, mamish. You have to be told. Everything is a chatzitza unless there's a heter for it, unless you can make it tougher by it being miyuta or not being mapped on a derisa level. That's the machlokis there. I'd like to give some, though, get into the. Into the Rambam for a second.
But before you go on,
yeah, sure.
The Gemara in Yevamos asked the question, how can the woman go into the mikvah as far as the baby, she's a chatzitza for, the mother is a chatzitza for the baby.
Right.
Now according to your explanation of Rashi, that chatzitza is subjective, and it's a din in the gavra, it's not a din in the basar, as you're saying. So therefore, what was the Gemara's Havamina that the mother is a chatzitza? I mean, I don't see the difference between the clothing and the mother. You know, if you're going to tell me wearing clothing is not a problem according to Rashi, so why should the mother be a problem? I don't understand the difference.
I see what you're saying. So the Gemara seems that the simple answer to that, is good question, that would be that the Gemara See, the Gemara here is what introduces the rule. Introduces the difference. The Gemara isn't starting off. We know the loss of chatzitza. The Gemara starts fresh. Let's look at what chatzitza is. The Gemara, one second, please. I don't want to spend time on it. Either way, the Gemara, I know you're probably looking at Sarah's. The Gemara
you want to say that's only Maskana or something?
That's mostly right. Not the Gemara actually knew this, but the Gemara, it was simply, you could say it was a.
You're saying that the Habamina Taka did not say this, and Rashi is only saying this to Maskana? Is that what you're saying?
You don't say this, follow it. The Gemara said, the Chitem Mishum Rab Yitzchak. It brings up Yitzchak, who says, who has Rubo and Makbid. So the Gemara could have been saying, now it's under Rab Yitzchak. The Gemara, Yitzchak is if saying, well, what about Rabbi Yitzchak? So the Gemara wasn't working with the presumption of Rabbi Yitzchak in the first place. Like you could say that, and then the Gemara said, well, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Taki would have a problem because you have to consider the fact.
No, but we're going in Rabbi Yitzchak. So
the Gemara only brings Rabbi Yitzchak. It says the chi tema mishum to Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara says the son doesn't need tzvila. And says why not? And should you say Rabbi Yitzchak? So in Mas, the Gemara was not taking this into consideration when it had the shaila originally.
Okay, but later on it did. So what?
So once it does, then therefore...
I still have a question. What was the kasha? Doesn't the Gemara realize that baby is not a chatzitza?
Yeah, the kasha is probably like this. Like this. Even though,
doesn't that contradict Rashi?
No, it doesn't. That's a good question. Like this. Because the chatzitza normally chatzitza means something which is tuffle to the body, bottle to the body, right? In this case, it's true. The baby does need the mother, but you don't say the mother is bottle to the baby. You would never say that. The Adarab, the baby is bottle to the mother. And that's actually how it seems to be working. But not the mother is bottle to the baby. Clothing is bottle to the person. A piece of tar on my skin is bottle to my, is tuffle to my skin if I'm not makbid, let's say, or whatever. But you would never say the mother, so before we get to the idea of kula, the mother is tuffle to the baby. The mother is containing the baby. The mother is dicker, and the baby is the tuffle, so to say, objectively. So therefore, you can say the baby is wearing the mother. It doesn't work out that way. Gemara, good question. Gemara's kiddush might be to say, tuffle doesn't mean to say, I mean to say tuffle in literal sense. It's tuffle to say in the sense of utility. The fact that the baby needs the mother means that the mother has a din just like clothing, so to say, just like a chatzitza on the body, regular chatzitza. Good question. I think that's probably the pshat. The havamina would be that it's a question of a physical tefillah. Physically, it's not no tefillah, it's farkert. Physically, the baby's tuffle the mother. It's saying it's functional tefillah, it's functional, sorry. The fact that the baby needs the mother, and therefore the mother is serving as a
caring. She's like the cleave.
She's the cleave for the, right, for she's the baby. Yeah, she's the cleave for the baby. She's the, like, one of the, I'm trying to think of a proper, a nicer word. Right, it's a cleave for the baby, right. Very good. That's the idea of the chor. Let's try to finish up with the Rambam. We discussed the Bishra of the Rambam beforehand. Now, the Rambam, as I said, quotes, he mentions Bias Mayim, the beginning of Hilchos Mikraos. So I'll just push him, please read this quickly. This is Perek Aleph.
Natural.
Natural, right. Kolotovel charge to eat both kolgufa pshu arm bevasachas. It must be immersed the whole body without clothing bevasachas. Imhaya bal seir, if the person has a lot of the hair, not seir rosho, the hair is like the goof, make sure the hair is under and so forth. Then the Rambam talks about the position you have to be in when you're tovel, and the insides of the person, and where a woman can be tovel, because we tovel in a canal and so forth, if she's embarrassed to be the uncomfortable being there. And then the Rambam talks about the chatzitza, like a brand new din. Echad Adam v'echad Akelim lo yadavar chotzeis b'nam. You can't have a chatzitza. So obviously the chatzitza is a new din. It's not, unlike the Torah, totally off of the Torah. It's not connected to the original din of being tovel kol gufa, kol basara. So, not only that, but there's another thing around very interesting. Rashi, when Rashi explains, so we talked about deraisafa. On a drabbana level there, drabbana were machmir. This is, of course, the way we know Hig. They're machmir. The deraisa, chatzitza is only a chatzitza if two things happen. If it's covering rubo, covering the majority of the body, there's a sheet that machlokas Rashi and the Gonim, whether or not, or the Ramos, whether or not you say the hair is a separate chetzer, a part of the body, have a measure, but forgetting about that. Chatzitza has to cover rubo of whatever is being tovel, and it has to be, you have to be makbid. If you're not makbid, covering rubo, the majority of the body is covering paint, I don't care about that, I don't mind the paint, then it's not a chatzitza deraisa. Rabbanan, though, Rabbanan said no. Either if it's covering rubo, it's a problem. Rubo is always a problem, and makbid is always a problem. Therefore, if the majority of my body has paint on it, it's a problem, even if I love the paint, I'm not makbid at all. And if I have a tiny drop of tar in my body and I am makbid, I'm very makbid, if it's covering miyut, I'm makbid on it, that's a chitzitz. The only time I'm not a chitzitz is if it's miyutu, the eno makbid. It's a minority and I'm not makbid. Only then is the non-chitzitz. That's a drabon level. Right. What is the nature of this drabon? Well, how do they formulate it? The major machlok is Rashi and Rambam from Yerdaik in it. Rashi, he has this in Erevin as well as in Sukkah. Rashi says, I don't need to read this, that's fine. It's in Daf, I'm Dalad of Erevin, Daf of Sukkah. Rashi says like this. He says that these two factors, Rubo and Makbid, are the factors of Deraisa. Rabbanan simply dissected it and they said, if either one factor exists, then Rabbanan, it's a chitzitz. It's not a good tevilah. Rabbanan. Therefore, if you have Rubo, no matter if you're Makbid or not, it's a problem, Rabbanan. And if you're Makbid, whether Rubo or Muto, it's a problem. It's each factor by itself, they said, they were Rashi, their gozer on. Even though Deraisa, you need both, and I think that is Chashivus. But Rabbanan, they said, either factor is a problem. That's what I was meant to say. They're equal factors, according to Rashi. It doesn't distinguish the one's more important. The Rambam, though, if you look carefully, seems to be very different. The Rambam says like this. This is Perek Aleph Mikvos Lachi Beis. He says, Devar Torah. Imahaya Davar Achotzeks Kopes Rov Adam, a Rova Kli. If something was covering the majority, but also lent Tevila. Husha Yehi Adam Machbid Aleph, Rotzla Aviro. With the condition, Hushia, the person Makbid. Now, Rashi doesn't present Makbid as a separate equal-to-equal requirement, two equal to nine, like Rashi says, Rubo and Makbid. The Rambam says, Rubo, but deny that you're Makbid. He doesn't say it like Rashi at all. He's very different. Then the Rambam continues, Aval, im eno Makbid alov, below some osa alev, he has no concern about it, mind it, bein over, bein low over, eno chotzeis, not makbid, not a problem. So makbid is a condition. The chora rubo is the ikar defining thing. Makbid is a tanai in rubo. We keep going the Rambam a little bit more. Yivrei sofrim. She called over a chotzeit. Im haya makbid all of the walls of tevila. Afa pishu al miyuto. Zer mishum rubo. So the first thing is, gzera is, if you're makbid, even though it covers the mute, gzera mishum rubo. Less to cover the majority. Since you're makbid on it, even though it's only a mute, but less to cover the majority that they made a gzera that it's no good. They're not so good. Less mishum rubo, number one. Number two, the other side is, chodavra chotzitz imhaya chopes rubo, though also look tevila, alf pishen and makbid. If it covers rubo, but you're not makbid, the Rambam should say, because makbid, as you should say, but he says, gezer mishum rubo ha makbid olav, rubo ha makbid, he throws in the word rubo. The Rambam, we see earlier in the Raisa, now we see in the Rabbanan, the rubo is the defining factor, and makbid is a tanai. Rubo is the main thing in makbid is a tanai. Why is that? I think the Pshat follows. The Rambam, to go back to the way the Briskar
was. What's your take in the Rambam?
The Rambam, when he says like this, the first one, I may only say is the better, they're both, I think, good too. The first one is a stronger deal. The two factors are rubo and makbid, right? How is he presented? The Vartori, Mahaya Dover Chotzeitz Chopes Rova Adam, a Rova Kli, Lo Asa Ben Tevila, Ush Yehi Adam Makbid Olav, Rotz Lavir. There's a condition in your Makbid on it. The Makbid seems to be Tafel, Tanai. So Tanai, Rubo is the defining factor, and Makbid is Tanai. Okay, so this fits in beautifully, I think, this whole thing to how the Brisker of made this chilik originally. Tevila no Tevila versus a Tevila with the Psul, with an Ikuv in it, with the Psul being Yotzi, being Tahor. Because obviously, if you say that Tevila with a Chetitz covering Rov Haguf, and you're Makban on it, it's a Chetitz, a Deraisa. How's it Tevila? Because Tevila, even though, let's say that I paint all over my whole body except for over my hand, right? And I'm Makban, I want to get rid of the paint as soon as I can. I want to find some turpentine to take off the paint. But in my hand, there's no paint. I'm Tovil. And the Tovil, if the Rambam would say that's a Tevila with a Chetitza. It's a Pusul, it's not Yotze, you're Tame, but it is a Tevila with a Chetitza. Why is that? Only my hand was getting water on it. Why is that? Rambam said Tevila is in the Chetitza. Unlike Rashi and the Rashba, who said Tevila is in the mamashus, in the actual material, in the surface area, that every single millimeter, every single molecule of goof or of skin, whatever it is, has to have bias mayim. Rambam says then the cheft, this cheft has to be tovel. Obviously, that's what we have to say, because how could the brisker rav medayik? But if you're tovel, the whole thing, the only thing that exposes the hand is called tevila. What tevila is there? Is there bias mayim on the rest of it? No. But the cheft experienced tevila. Due to the fact that there was contact with the water, the whole thing was technically immersed. The hand holding underwater, therefore the cheft is tovel. That would make sense. When's Rambam then the cheft? Tevila is in the cheft, not a din in the chalakim, in the surface, in the area being having bias mayim. And then this cheftza, did this cheftza, was it tov or not? Once we say that, we can understand what chetzitza is. That's the case. If chatzitza is defined by rubo, chatzitza is only ikar only rubo. Even though drabanan miuto hamak also holds the chosays, but rubo defines. What is rubo? Because rubo is saying that there was a tvila, but the Torah was ma'akev; it held back the tahara. He doesn't say here lo tava. It's kilu lo tava. It says tame kilu lo tava. Tame is if you weren't tava, which means say you did a tvila, of course, but the chalos, the result of the tvila did not occur. The tahara never took place upon the person. The chetzu was tavul, but there's no tefila. Therefore, if it covers, getting that, if it covers rov haguf, or rov hakli, the pshat is that the Torah says, view it as if that as if this thing was not subject to the tahara of the mikvah. In other words, you view the kli as one kli. If rov the kli is covered, you say it's a chetzitza. If miyudov is covered, it's not a chetzitza. It's defined by the chetzu. Chatzitza is defined from the Rambam. The tefillah is defined by the chefza. Therefore, the chefza is rubo mechusa. Then say there's a chatzitza on the chefza. Miuto is covered by a chatzitza. There's not a chatzitza on it. Chatzitza is yes or no, because rubo defines it. Because tefillah is holy tefillah is the chefza has to be tovel, not the surface area of the skin, but the chefza must be tovel. And therefore, in the chatzitza level, which is a new din, if the chatzitza is covering rubo, we say that this new din says rubo kakulo, so to say, and the chefza was not yosei tevila. I think that's how it, I think this fits into the Rambam, into the Biskarav, and so forth.
Here's Scott.
Evening,
Scott. Yeah.